How do I know if this is even working?
Ladies of the LLLLV.
Thank you. I'll be here all year. Or as long as you listen. Or really just whichever comes first or is better. Okay, I'm gonna stop talking now. Bye.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Ladies of the LV. This is episode 13. Lucky number 13.
I thought last one was 13.
Last one was 12.
I'm glad you're keeping track.
I'm glad you listen to your own podcasts.
Count. I know.
Amy's really pregnant, so we'll forgive her memory. It's okay.
True.
Amy, update your fans on how you're feeling in pregnancy.
Still pregnant. 9 weeks to go.
And we have a name picked out.
But we're not saying.
We're not saying it. I know that. Don't worry. Any advice for some of your fellow pregnant ladies out there?
Don't get pregnant in the summer because you're hot all the time.
Well, it's kind of too late if they're already pregnant.
All right. Sorry.
I mean, like, if someone's listening that's in their third trimester... Or in their second, maybe. Up and coming. Advice?
I can't think of anything.
Gosh.
I'm sorry.
Why are you here?
I'm having a hot flash right now.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry.
I'm all right.
All right.
We power through.
We power through, just like you did in my apartment last week.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you turn the air conditioner off.
Well, listen. For the 13th episode, I feel like we couldn't have a better, luckier guest. Right?
Yeah.
Nina Elias? Welcome to Ladies of the LV. Why do I keep feeling like I'm not saying your name right.
You are.
I said it right.
You did it.
Okay. Nina Elias, how are you feeling? Are you excited?
I'm the most honored human being to be on this podcast. I'm so honored to be a Lady of the LV. Do we get like hats or badges or something?
We'll send you. Yeah. We should actually. So then like one day when we celebrate, we can just invite all of our ladies back.
Yeah.
Oh, can we have a fabulous dinner party or something?
Definitely. Can it be here?
Yeah. Yes, please. You know that would make my life.
I love it. So we're at Nina's house in Bethlehem, and it's pretty much just like the cutest space.
It really is.
In all the world.
Thanks, guys.
We have, what are those candles called? The tall ones?
There's tapers.
Tapers. We have, there are tapers that are lit here. It's super romantic.
And a cheese plate.
I mean.
Charcuterie.
Yeah.
Hello.
I'm loving the olives. So, Nina and I met, this is how we usually start, 2 years ago, or was it 3 years ago? I believe it was 2016.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
2 years ago, doing City of Angels at the Pennsylvania Playhouse. Nina is sort of like a theater gem in the Lehigh Valley, and she has been in lots of different productions, which I want to talk to you about. But how many shows would you say you've been in the Lehigh Valley?
Oh my gosh.
If you had to, like...
Like a quick count?
Yeah, just like a guesstimate.
I've been in like 5 at Civic.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in like 3 at Star of Day.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in like 3 at the Playhouse.
Yeah.
So what is that, 11?
Yeah.
And I feel like I've done so many cabarets and concerts and little half shows, and that is super fun. And yeah, I feel like I feel like since I started performing here, I feel like I haven't stopped for like 6.5 years. And it's been amazing because I did some performing in college, but not a lot, and I didn't major in performance or anything like that. Like, I had a pretty clear career track. And for as much as music and theater and dance and acting has always been like a really intense part of my life since like age 3, maybe even before, honestly, it didn't really occur to me that like I should pursue that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty sad for a long time knowing that, like, okay, well, never knowing if it was my last show, right? Never knowing if it was my last performance. And then I kind of came here and found this family, like this community of people who were not just like, oh yeah, you know, this is just something that we do. They were like, oh no, come be a part of this. And like, let's create some actual art and let's also have fun and let's also, you know, have our life priorities, and kind of it was like okay for me to have it all. Kind of, I can still do shows and also have my career and get married and own a home and have health insurance and
health insurance.
I know, right? The dream for any actor.
It's a small theater world in the Lehigh Valley. So I was just telling Nina before we started that she was kind of one of those people that I always saw in shows or like would hear her name, but never actually got to do anything with her until City of Angels. And it just made sense. I was just like, okay, this is why this chick is amazing, because you are. I saw you in Big Fish at Star of the Day, which I had never seen before. Magic in the Man, is that what the song is called that you would sing?
Yes.
It was so good.
Oh my gosh, thanks.
So good. And I also just saw Tuesdays with Maury at Civic. And there's this part where they sort of just play the sound of this woman singing. And I was also just telling Nina that I immediately heard the song and knew that it was you. It was just like, she just has a voice like butter. That's the best way I could describe it. Like, the feminine version of Sam Smith. It's just, like, so soothing.
Oh, I'm going to put that on my resume.
Please do. I'm
going to eliminate all the other roles I've ever played and just say, I'm the feminine version of Sam Smith, so just cast me. Thanks. Yes. Bye.
Now, you should. Did you have any kind of formal training growing up or no?
I did. Natural? So, my grandmother was a singer. My uncle was a jazz pianist, and so I was very lucky in that when I, instead of going to, like, a daycare, my mom would just bring me to my grandma's. And so from a very early age, I was, like, super obsessed with the piano. I always wanted to play it and bang on it and everything. And my uncle would always let me improvise while he played. And I have such strong memories of sitting on the piano bench between my grandmother and my uncle. And they would, my grandmother would sing and he would play, specifically Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which is a song that I still to this day, like, cannot perform in public. I tried twice and one of the times I, like, ended up just, like, crying in the middle of the song because it's, like, I can't. But she was a singer, and so I was always around music, and I sang in church. I had a lovely choral director, Mrs. Blessing, if you can believe that a church choir director's last name would be Blessing.
That's fitting.
And she, like, really plucked me out of the crowd and was like, you're, like, a little special. Like, there's something really different about you when it came to being in the choir. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to middle school, it was time to pick an instrument or pick singing, and I already played the piano, so I was like, I want to sing. And I was always obsessed with Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston and Shania Twain and and Broadway, Jekyll and Hyde, and all of these things. And I'll never forget the first day of seventh grade. I came home to my grandmother's house after school, and my mom had gotten out of work early to come see me on my first day of seventh grade. And I was like, guys, I'm in chorus. I'm a soprano. And everyone, like, laughed at me. Because I guess I had a lower speaking voice as a child. And I quickly, like, fell into that. And then my mom, you know, I was getting solos and things. And my mom was like, do you want to take voice lessons? And I was like, yes, please. Can we please? So I started taking voice lessons as a freshman in high school. And I've never stopped. Even in college, wasn't a music major. But I know we paid for lessons. And I still study now. And it's just, like, my form of meditation. I just feel like, well, first of all, your instrument is always changing, and my instrument will keep changing until I'm older. And I just think it's really fascinating because as singers, we don't get to put our instrument in a case when we're frustrated. So we bring everything with us whenever we step up to sing. So I think that it means for a totally different type of practice. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's so special when someone sings. So yeah, I started training classically and always loved musical theater, jazz, all of it. Not so much pop music. I'm a little regimented for that.
Well, you're so good, honestly.
Thanks.
Like, if there are people out there who know the theater world, I feel like we're so lucky that there are so many super talented people who live here. But I also feel like there's a very small group of, like, the especially talented people. I don't know if that makes any sense, but you're in that group.
Well, thanks. That means more to me than I know how to say right now.
In my opinion.
Thanks, Bea.
So, you said you had sort of two of your big dream roles the past couple years. So can you talk a little bit about them?
Oh my gosh, yes. I got to be Judy Burnley in 9 to 5 at Civic. Mm-hmm. And that was crazy because I had been singing Get Out and Stay Out for quite some time. I actually did a cabaret at Allentown Brewworks in 2013, and that was the final song. And I really, really loved that role. And I remember when I was working in New York, I was interning at Martha Stewart magazine, and I would go to Times Square after my internship and stand on the line for the lottery and try to get tickets to 9 to 5. And I'll never forget when I finally saw it. I was like sitting in the nosebleeds and I just fell in love with the show. And I love Stephanie J. Block. I love her instrument. It's totally different than mine. And I just really, really liked that character. But nobody does that show for good reason. The music is so hard. And it's a movie that was, you know, distilled down into a musical, which makes it technically, if you want to do it right, which Bill always wants to do it right, it makes it really tough. But we did it, and it was an amazing experience. I met some amazing people, and I got to work with people who pushed me and supported me and crazy costume changes. And some of my favorite, like, theater mishap stories are from that show. I got to meet Kathleen and Jan, and it was like, just so amazing. And so that was really liberating because I still feel like, I mean, I played some parts before that, but I still feel like that was the moment that I was like, oh, this is who I am, you know?
Yeah.
And then I found some confidence, and then a couple months later, I got to be Lily in Secret Garden, also at Civic. And that is a role that took me back vocally to my roots, because everybody thought I was just this big belter girl, because that's what Judy is. She just has this giant song, right? And that's kind of the thing. And that's kind of the thing I was doing for a long time. But I originally started singing classical music. I was singing opera only in my voice lessons for so long. So to be able to tackle a score that was technically really tough was so exciting. And I felt good about being like, no, I can also do this. You know what I mean? And I got to, again, be on stage with some of my favorite people. And I got to share a dressing room with Mary, who was like the most lovely, professional little person. That show was so, so special. So...
what was you said you had like a secret about, when I saw Tuesdays with Maury, I said, I heard Nina's voice and I was like, God, is that you?
Oh yeah. So there were like two camps of people when they saw that. They either immediately were like, oh, that's Nina. Mm-hmm. Or there were some people who were like, who was the voice? Who was the wife? And Barry Glassman is the one who would come up to me and tell me that like people would ask him who it was. And he was so excited to tell them it was me, which he's the best. But I remember when Bill asked me if I knew the song, and I knew the Doris Day version, kind of, and I was like, I'll learn it, like, whatever, I'll learn anything. And I started looking up Mitch Albom, the main guy, yeah, the author. So his wife, it's based, I'm his wife, and she really was a singer or something. So I was like, oh, well, I'll do some research and like look her up.
Yeah.
And she's not very good. So I was gonna like try, I was gonna try to like be her, sound like her or something, and I like... And it after 5 minutes, I was like, nope, I'm just going to be me. And that was, like, really powerful for me, too, though, because it was another one of those, like, it's okay to just be me moments, you know?
Yeah.
It's just kind of no veil, just myself. That was a really cool song. Yeah.
So before I met you at City of Angels, you already had a history at the Playhouse because that's how you met Doug.
Yes.
So Nina's getting married in a month and, like, I don't know what's today. Is today the
20...
A month and a few days. Do you have a countdown on your watch?
38 days.
I knew it. 38 days. So she will soon be Nina Ace, which is kind of a cool... Those are cool initials. N-A.
Yeah.
Nah. Which is a cool name overall.
Nina Ace.
I feel very lucky to be inheriting. I mean, there's lots of reasons to choose the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with, and your last name shouldn't be one of those reasons. But I'm feeling pretty lucky.
I like it. So you met your fiancé in theater at the Playhouse.
I sure did.
Can you tell us about that?
I would love to. That's one of my favorite things to talk about because it was truly unexpected. Truly kismet. Like, I had moved here and started my first job out of college, and 3 or so months went by. And I was like, I'm not performing. I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but I need to sing, and so I'm going to figure out a way to do that in this new place where I've never been. So I literally Googled community theaters in Bethlehem, and the PA Playhouse came up first. Mm-hmm. And I saw on their website that Thoroughly Modern Millie auditions were, like, in 3 days. And I was so not prepared. So I, like, pulled some really inappropriate audition choice out of whatever, like, half-put-together book I had from college. And I emailed the director, who was Will Irwin, who's, like, my best friend. He's my wedding.
That.
I emailed him, and it's so funny because he still has the email that I called him, like, hello, Mr. Irwin.
Oh, my gosh.
I was, like, very, you know, 22 and green. I was like, hello. Like, I don't know how old this person is. He could be, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So I was very formal, and I was like, do you have room? Like, I understand if not, but if there's any time slots left, like, I would love to come audition, of course, because it was pretty casual. He was like, no, yeah, like, just come. It's fine. So I did, and I got a call back. And when I went to callbacks that night, I did the dance call. The dance call was so hard. Yeah, we were so sweaty.
Who was the choreographer?
Gwen Vigorito.
That sounds so familiar.
She's amazing. Hi, Gwen. I love you.
Shout out, Gwen.
I love her so much. And so the reason I tell you that the dance call was really hard is because afterward we were very sweaty. And of course I showed up in like a leotard and like a skirt and like character shoes, like, too intense. Story of my life. Like, that situation explains so much about me. And so after we were done, I went outside to get some air. It was January. So I must have been really warm. So we went outside to get some air, and like, so did Doug. And so we were just out there, like, outside looking it up and just like introducing ourselves. Just, hi, who are you? And it turned out that his best friend also went to Syracuse, where I had just graduated from. And my immediate thought when he told me that was like, oh no, did I date him? Or like, did I like do something bad? And I didn't know him, so that was great.
cool. It's going really well.
Yeah, I was in the clear. And yeah, and then we really hit it off that night, and I was like, this guy's really cool. Like, he's like a little special. This is really neat, like, not thinking anything of it. And then as we went through the process, we slowly but surely, you know, in a weird way, kind of got together. And then, yeah, by March, we were a total thing.
I did not realize.
Yeah.
Thoroughly Modern Millie. What year was that?
2012.
Wow.
So 6 years you guys have been together.
Yes.
6 years.
Okay, so flash forward, when did you sort of know that this was the person that you wanted to spend your life with?
Mm. So I knew pretty soon.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. This felt really intense quickly. It was the first time that I was ever, like, truly myself with another person, mm-hmm. other than my mom and dad. Like, I love my friends dearly, and I don't mean that, like, I'm not myself around them, but, like, you know, it's, like, a different feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I was just able to, like, fully relax, and I had never met someone who made me laugh so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of amazing, and we moved in together really fast, and we did a lot of things too fast, and we were young, and I mean, we are still young, but we were even younger, and it didn't work, and we broke up a little over a year later.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because it was too much too soon?
It was too much too soon. We had things to work out. We had growing up to do. You know, it was just, I think it's cool that Doug and I did a lot of growing up together, which I think is hopefully what's going to, you know, set us up for success for the next 75 years.
Right.
But, yeah, we ended up spending some time apart for, like, 3 months. And it was, like, the most important 3 months of our lives. I know he would say the same.
Were you sad?
So sad.
Yeah.
Like, sadder than I'd ever been.
Did you think, though, did you sort of know during that time that, you know, you would get back together? Or did you really think, like, this is it, we're done, it's over?
You know, I think the stubborn Italian person in me was like, nope, it's over, I'm never, you know, whatever. And I remember at one point having a conversation with my mom saying, like, don't ever let me get back together with Doug. Like, no matter what I say, don't let me. So by me even saying that, there must have been some inkling that I would have said. But what we did is we kind of came back together as friends. I mean, not only friends, but you know what I mean? We came back together in friendship first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, of course, loved him no less than the day that we broke up. Like, I didn't break up with him because I didn't love him. That's for sure. So, yeah, we kind of just came together as friends, kind of, like, re-getting to know each other and kind of talking about, you know, having the important conversations that we clearly weren't having. And we didn't live together for over a year then after that. So we really did have our own lives and tried to do it what we felt was right for us.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, never went back after that, really. So I will say that I was a little guarded, but I think what made it so sad, and I remember saying this to someone right after we broke up, I was like, you know, I just ended things with the person I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with. So, like, I need a minute.
Yeah.
Like, that was a huge deal to me. And none of my relationships before ever really felt like that huge of a deal to me.
Yeah.
I had my heart, like, mildly broken in hindsight. But I think the intensity and the severity of it was when I was like, oh, yeah. Ugh, this is it. This is the one. And so I remember when we got back together, I was doing the thing that you're not supposed to do and ask all your friends. I was like, are you sure this is okay? And they were like, yes. Like, what are you talking about? And I just couldn't see outside of myself. And when I let myself, like, believe again that we were meant to be, things really fell into place. But I really feel like our relationship since we've been engaged is completely different. I mean, I really feel like our relationship just got, like, 10 feet deeper.
Yeah.
And we've explored so much. And I think part of that is going through the wedding planning process, right? It brings up so many things. Everything from practical stuff like organization and finances to family, like, your own family, and then what you want your family dynamic to be. And we went through some pretty cool premarital counseling through the cathedral that we're getting married in. And that was really important to us. I almost feel like I can't remember what it's like to not be engaged to Doug, which is so funny because it was something I wanted for so long.
Yeah.
I was like, why won't he propose to me? Like, what's going on? And I had rings picked out forever and all of that stuff, but it happened exactly at the right time. And the wedding planning process has really just made our relationship just, I don't know, catapult us. I'm just like so, so excited to keep learning with him and about him. And I don't know, you think you know everything about a person, and then you discover something else, and it's just the most beautiful thing. And the most recent thing I discovered about him, which is not at all sentimental or beautiful, but it's when we just had to shop for a new fridge, because ours broke last week, and he is, like, really particular about the way the drawers pull out.
Interesting. Tell me more.
Like, we would go and open up fridges, and he would pull the drawer, and he'd be like, oh, no. And they would close it, and then we would be on to the next one.
It's just, like, the way it would feel.
Yes, it cannot feel cheap.
I understand that. I do. The way it rolls out. Yes. Like, whatever the pulley system is, it's got to be smooth. You don't want to spend an extra 30 seconds trying to get your, you know, whatever it is in there. And, like, you're having to jimmy the ricocheting. Oh, my gosh. Look at this little spoon.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's the cutest thing I've... Are you kidding me? I've been using my fingers.
You can use your fingers. Everyone, for
you can't see it, but I just found the smallest, littlest spoon that is the cutest thing. Anyways, I understand that. Continue. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, but I think it's so funny, though, because that's not an important thing, but it, like, makes me laugh, and it's, like, so endearing about him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love him so much. I'm so excited to be his wife. I can't wait.
You guys.
Amy.
Now, how long has the planning process been going on for the wedding?
We got engaged in August of 2016, and we started looking at venues really, like, informally. Mm-hmm. We chose our venue in May of 2017, so I would say that the planning in earnest has been going on for since May of last year.
So are you still sort of trying to tie up loose ends now, or is all the big stuff taken care of, I guess?
Big stuff's done, which is great. Definitely still tying up loose ends. I'm on to the little personal things,
mm-hmm.
but the things that make our day,
you know?
So that's pretty cool. Groomsmen ties right now are keeping me up at night.
Interesting.
We just made our alcohol list, which was, again, more complicated than you might think. This is like a BYO place, which is great because it saves you money and you get to, like, really get what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Alcohol is very important to us and all of our friends, so we want to make sure we have good stuff. And here. Right. So we're doing that. We planned our honeymoon. We still have, like, some details to plan for that. But we're going to Spain, and we know where we're sleeping and how we're getting there. But beyond that, we don't really have any other plans. So that's kind of what I'm focusing on. And I just can't wait for it to be here because I'm done planning it. I'm just done planning it. And I just want it. I'm ready to celebrate. Yeah. I can't wait to come home from work and, like, not think about this day.
And just live it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just be like, I'm married.
Yeah.
Isn't that, is that what happens when you get married? You just, like, sit back and you're like, I'm married?
I mean, I can't, I don't know.
You have to let us know. Yeah.
You're talking to two non-married women.
Yeah. Well, married ladies of the LV, let me know, because I feel like, gosh, I don't know what my life is like after this wedding.
I think if you do it right, it should feel exactly the same.
I love that. I hope so.
Like, I think, I don't know. Where am I talking about?
Maybe even better. I mean, you said your connection's been deepening, so this could be a whole nother level. You have to check back with us and give us the update.
We'll circle back. Yeah. Let's do, like, a year from now.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's come back. I actually have a question about something that you said, but I want to ask you more about just, like, this process for you.
Sure.
But we have so much ground to cover. So, one of the things you said was, like, you did the thing you weren't supposed to do when you and Doug got back together, and you were sort of, like, asking for your friend's approval and things like that. Do you find that that's something you do often? Like, are you... You always tell me, like, you're such an open book.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you feel like with being such an open book comes with that quality of, like, constantly sort of checking in with the people you love and care about and sort of wanting approval from them?
As much as I'm an open person, I think just from my own journeys and just being open to giving and receiving lots of energies, seeking others' approval is not something I do.
No.
It's not. And I think it's because I'm an only... I think one of the reasons is because I'm an only child.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't... You know, mine was mine. You know what I mean? I'm pretty solitary. And I'm also pretty, again, a little stubborn sometimes. And when I make up my mind... I have my mom and my grandmother were always really intense on, like, following your gut. And that was, like, the one time that I was not doubting my gut, but
questioning.
I think that makes sense.
I
just wanted to make sure. And I think because I really feel like, again, probably because I'm an only child, my friends are my family in a lot of ways. And so I just wanted to, I think, make sure, like, listen, people, if we go through with this, you know, this is going to be us for the next, you know, 8 million years. So, like, are you good? Because you're my tribe.
Yeah.
So, no, that was really out of character for me.
Yeah, well, that's why when you said it, it kind of, like, struck me. Because I was like, I feel like just from being around you in general, you just have this air of, like, just confidence and just self-trust and knowing who you are. So, to hear you say that is kind of...
Thanks.
Yeah.
You know, it's something I struggle with. It's something I'm really good at doing when it comes to, like, career stuff and theater stuff to a certain degree. I think all actors go through lots of self-doubt. I've personally had a lot of self-doubt, especially with, like, the acting part of performing. But, you know, having, like, not doubting myself and, like, having self-assurance and, like, really believing it and, like, in the most vulnerable moments is something I've been really trying to work on. So it's really cool to hear that that's a thing that you get from me, because that means it's working.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like I got that from you even, like, 2 years ago when I met you. And when I saw you at auditions, you just, like, walk in and you're like, poof, here I
am. Well, that's because there's nothing else to be, right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can change. Like, Will and I always tell our students that, like, you have fabric, right? It's, like, almost like types. Like, you are who you are. And, like, who you are may or may not be what they are looking for in that character. And, like, it doesn't mean that I'm not talented. Like, all I can do is, like, present who I am. And, like, beyond that, I have no control.
Yeah.
And so if my fabric matches with that character's fabric, yay. If not, okay, have I done all that I can to hone my craft in that for that moment? Yeah, hopefully. I feel like I can say that. And so, yeah. And I just, like, I'm so glad that we had that moment, because that's important.
Yeah. You pulled me out of a dark spot there.
Oh, my gosh.
Homegirl. Okay, I have more questions.
Okay.
So, you are not originally from the Lehigh Valley.
I am not.
From Wilkes-Barre.
Yes, ma'am.
Which I've learned is Barry and not Bear.
It's Barry and Bear.
Raise your hand if you say Wilkes-Barre. Amy?
I don't know what I say anymore. I think I go back and forth.
She's having a crisis.
Well, because people from this area do say it both ways. But you said that's okay.
It is.
Which is surprising to me.
I think that Wilkes...
I thought it was one or the other.
I think that Wilkes-Barre... I'm probably going to get all this hate mail from the NEPA people. You know, I don't really care. Because I don't really have any desire to go back there. No. But yeah, I'm from Kingston, which is just outside Wilkes-Barre. Now I'm self-conscious about it.
No, so you're from there, but when did you move here? You moved here right after college.
Yep, so I graduated from Syracuse and with my degree in magazine journalism, and I immediately moved home, like everyone else. I did not have a job. And I moved back to Kingston, and I just started looking. And I was looking in New York, because that's where all the magazines are, and that's where I had done all my internships, that's where all my networking was happening. And a job came up, assistant beauty editor at Prevention, and I had had a nail polish blog in college, thanks to a class I had taken senior year, and the nail polish blog, like, had some traction from, like, 17, and, like, it was getting popular, and so I was like, I could do this.
From 17?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
They, like, I won a scholarship, and one of the social media editors there at the time, before social media editors were even a thing.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I learned how to use Twitter from a career perspective, so I never learned how to use it from a person perspective.
Wow.
So I don't use it. Yeah. And then when I worked at Prevention, I ran their social media accounts, so, like, I legit do not have it, like, I don't know how to use Twitter as a person.
I'll teach you.
Please.
I don't really either. Mm-hmm. You're not missing anything.
I love Instagram, though. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite. Mm-hmm. I interviewed for the job, and the person who taught that class that I wrote that blog in, he was an editor at Men's Health.
No way.
Yeah. So he kind of helped me get my resume in front of the right person, and I was lucky enough to get the job, and that was in September, and I moved here in October. And, yeah, I moved. I took one look at Emmaus. After getting pretty close to signing some apartments in Astoria, in Queens, looking at Emmaus, I was like, I can't do this. What am I going to do?
Where in Emmaus?
Like, I don't even know. Like, I was just so, I was so close-minded about the whole thing. But then my dad and I drove down to Bethlehem, mm-hmm. and it was Harvest Fest.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the whole place smelled like soup and bread and, like, you know what I'm saying? And there was, like, pumpkins and hay bales everywhere. And I was like, this is where I have to live. I don't care if it's 30 minutes from my job. Like, yeah. I'm doing this. So I moved into an apartment, a one-bedroom apartment downtown. And, like, I don't know, 6 months later, maybe, my best friend Will moves across the hall, and all of a sudden it's, like, friends.
No way.
And it was so fun. And that what was your was building? So it was on Wall Street, on the corner of Wall and Linden.
Damn, I don't know where that is. And I like, know Bethlehem pretty well.
Yeah, it was, like, just so fun. And I just loved Bethlehem.
Yeah.
And I haven't left.
Yeah. So how long were you at Prevention?
I was there for 3 years, just over 3 years.
And then you left to go to Moravian College.
I sure did.
So why did you decide to make the switch?
So it was really hard because working at Prevention and working at Rodale in general was a huge education in health. I mean, I wrote about so many things. I mean, I was heavily beauty for a long time, but then the magazine's focus kind of like shifted away from beauty, probably for advertising reasons, I think. And I started covering more mind-body stuff and neuroscience and breast cancer research and skin cancer and some nutrition, not a lot of fitness. Like, I can't, I don't know what to say. Like, do 10 push-ups. I don't know what to write about that. I can't do it. So, but I started covering so much, and so I loved the work I was doing. But I was struggling to move forward and to move up and I wanted to outgrow the box that I was in. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do more editing. I wanted to do some more things. And, you know, those opportunities just weren't present at that time. And a job at Moravian was there. It was a magazine editor. I was going to be the editor-in-chief. I was to go from being an assistant editor, like, bottom of the totem pole, to being the editor-in-chief, one person staff of an alumni magazine. And I was like, I'm just going to apply. And it's in Bethlehem, which made me feel so good, because I think my dream job is to actually, like, work for, like, the tourism board.
Yeah.
Because I think that would just be so fun. So I was like, if I got to be in downtown Bethlehem all day, like, this is going to be great. So I interviewed. I almost said auditioned. Do you ever do that?
Kind of the same. Yes.
And, yes. Yeah, and I got the job. I have no idea how. And, you know, and people at work were so, so excited for me. And the editor-in-chief at the time, I'll never forget, Bruce Kelly, came in, like, my second to last day of work. And I didn't have a lot of interaction with him, mostly because the work I did was more digital. And he came in and he was like, you know, I took a really big job once. Like, I had a really big leap, talking about how I was going from, you know, where I was moving on the masthead. And he was like, I think it's really important to take a big job and do it because it makes you really good. And I think he's totally right. And after 8 months of doing that at the college, I went through 3 issues, and the college was opening up some positions on the web team. We had had a new website. We were going to be going through a redesign, and they needed a content manager. And I was like, I know how to use Drupal. I know how to write for the web. I can do this. And I was lucky enough to kind of just move over into that position. And now I'm the senior content marketing manager. And that basically means that I'm in charge of all the messaging when it comes to recruitment. So undergraduate admissions, graduate admissions. It's so fun. Print pieces, digital. I just love it. And because I'm either talking to 15, 16, 17-year-olds, which is super fun, or I'm talking to prospective graduate students, which is us. Any age, anybody yeah. over 24 could be a graduate student. Mm-hmm. So it's exhilarating. And my mom has worked in higher ed my whole life, so I'm familiar with the schedule and the benefits. And, you know, I think it was a smart move for my future, too, because Moravian's not going anywhere. It's been 276 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You really are Bethlehem's biggest fan.
I really am Bethlehem's biggest fan.
Check out Nina's Instagram, her bio. I was trying to Insta-stalk you to, like, get some, you know, get some deets, and I saw you're Bethlehem's biggest fan.
You know it.
I was like... You really are.
We're the most annoying. Like, we, anytime something's going on, we're like, oh, yeah, we really want to do that. And we'll either ride our bike or walk, or we love Lovett Pavilion. We love the South Side. I feel like this has been the summer of the South Side. Yeah. Summer of the South Side. Household. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Did you know that Lovett Pavilion has free concerts from Thursday through Sunday?
I did actually know that.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
You're so lucky.
I haven't been to any, but I knew it was happening.
Will you come with me?
I'll come with you.
We can pregame here at the House with the Yellow Door. And then we can go to the South Side.
You're giving it away to everyone where you live. Whoops. Everyone's going to drive around, find your yellow door.
We'll paint the door.
Okay. Easy. Maybe we can paint the door. I will totally come. Okay, so when do the concerts go to? Like September?
Yeah, I think so.
And like Flynn, Amy, you want to be our DD?
No.
Great. I'll tell you when it's happening.
You've never been to a concert there? I'm surprised.
I've been to I think I've been to a paid concert, but not one of the free ones.
I love Black Violin. Did you ever see them there?
No.
I think they're there next month.
Oh my gosh.
A lot of fun. You'll love it. Right. I'll be your DD.
Love it at Lovett.
Love it at Lovett.
That should be the next thing.
It really should.
Love it at Lovett.
Hello, right Arts Quest.
There. Arts Quest, you're welcome.
I really think it's my dream to, like, work in marketing for Arts Quest or the chamber or tourism or something.
You should.
Because it would be so fun.
Yeah. They always have something going on. It would be a fun job. Yeah.
You have a fire in your step about it, for sure.
I'm so annoying.
You're not.
And, like, it's so funny because, you know, Doug and I sometimes talk about we really have this weird dream of wanting to move west and go to California or something and just spend some part of our life there. Or, you know, I know my parents they've lived in the Wilkes-Barre area for their whole lives, but I know that they definitely have dreams of going other places. And I talk a big talk, and then when I, like, really think about it, I'm like, oh, but, like, Celtic Fest and
Music Fest,
Beloved Pavilion,
Chris Kimmel,
right, and just, like, brunch. Like, what better feeling is there on, like, a breezy Sunday or Saturday sitting outside?
See, she likes brunch. Veronica does not like brunch.
I'm sorry, what?
That's not true at all. I was telling Amy that I get anxious about breakfast dates because I feel like it implies that you must have plans the rest of the day. And Amy was like, that's not true at all. Breakfast dates can be so great.
Plans with the person or plans
She's
otherwise?
She's thinking that the person would have plans with someone else. Like, this person's just trying to get
You're
her out
You're just airing
way, basically.
All my dirty laundry right
I'm
now.
Sorry.
I was telling her one time forever ago that I was anxious. I was like, well, it's breakfast, so that must mean, like, that's it. Like, breakfast and coffee to me sounds like let's read the Bible together. What? Not true. Not true.
It's not.
No.
Brunch is the best.
Okay, I've since changed my mind.
Well, I didn't know this.
Okay, but brunch is the best of both worlds because you get to not breakfast. Not breakfast.
Not. I never said I disliked brunch.
I beg to differ.
Oh, God.
Brunch is great because you can sleep in a little bit. You don't have to get up early. But it's still got the coolness of breakfast. You're sipping your coffee, you get omelets. It's delightful.
And if you're with a weirdo who, like, wants lunch,
yeah,
they can be weird and eat lunch. But you can eat eggs like a normal person.
Why is nobody mentioning mimosas or Bloody Marys?
We haven't gotten there yet.
That would be Jumbars. Shout out to Jumbars.
Love Jumbars.
BYOB, nobody knows. So I always feel like an asshole when I go and it's, like, super quiet. I'm like, Patty and Cheryl are to my left, and I pop open my bottle of champagne.
Doug knows.
Doug
loves a mimosa, guys. Like, loves a mimosa.
Doug? I'm just kidding. He's upset. I was going to yell it really loud, but I didn't want to be an asshole.
The only reason that Doug knows is because he got, like, inappropriately drunk.
At on Jumbars?
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Wow, that's yeah. A brunch.
That is
right there.
A brunch.
I agree.
Okay. We have to get off this tangent about brunch.
No, but what? I love a Benedict.
There's so much to say.
Can you do me a favor? Can you drink some of your wine?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I'm so sweaty.
You're making me feel like a lush.
Sorry, I've been talking.
I know. That's why I'm going to make you sip as I ask you this next question. So, 2 years ago, you started a blog slash website slash blog, co-founder of Live Well Lehigh Valley. So I want to hear why you started it, its mission, how is it going? Take me through it.
Yes. When I was at Prevention, I was like, I was doing all this amazing content for a national audience. And I was like, there's no content for this audience. Like, I just felt like I was in the epicenter of, like, living the dream. Like, I felt like I was in a place where I was so close to New York and so close to Philly and I had so many resources. And there was no, other than Lehigh Valley Style, which does amazing stuff, and that's another dream job. Hi, let me write for you, please.
I know someone who works there.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
You know, besides Lehigh Valley Style, I didn't feel like there was, like, a well of content about this. And so I was hanging out with my two friends, Siobhan and Steph. I met them both at Rodale. Steph and I actually went to the same school for the same program, and Siobhan was my work neighbor. And now they're both, like, my soul sisters, which is so cool. I was like, you guys, like, I want to start something. We had, like, a lot to drink. I was like, I really want to start something. I had this idea for, like, a newsletter or something where it's all, like, wellness content. And I want it to be called, like, Living Well in the Lehigh Valley or something, like, you know, something like that. And they were like, yes. Like, I don't have a lot of friends in my life who were just like, yes. You know what I mean? Like, they're like,
you need people like that.
You really do. And in that moment, they were like, that's a great idea. Let's do it. And they were like, well, why don't we just make it a website? I was like, okay. So we started a bunch of social media channels for it. And like, Steph's boyfriend, Evan, is a designer and he designed our website. And our friend Kayleen designed our logo and our business cards. And like, she really set us up for free. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. And it's, you know, we don't put as much time into it as any of us want because life is crazy, but I'm really excited to not have life be as crazy. I feel like I've been hustling my whole life, and I feel like once I'm married, I'm ready to stop doing that.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, we do publish content weekly, and we're all over our social media with it, and I get a lot of joy out of it because I sometimes go places, and I'm so surprised to hear that people know what it is.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool because one of the things we do is weekly event roundups, and I feel like it gives a voice, or it helps get the word out for all of the, like, more natural or alternative health companies and businesses and doctors and advocates who maybe don't have as big of an audience as, say, Lehigh Valley Health Network or St. Luke's or something like that. So it's really fun. And, oh my God, there's a wealth of stuff going on every single weekend beyond, like, I feel like Bethlehem and the Lehigh Valley in general is really good at the, like, anything to do with wine and anything to do with food. But there's actually so much that has to do with fitness and crystals and meditation and energy work and workshops and farming, and there's so much farm to table. There's instructional stuff when it comes to farming, which I think is really cool, and I love it.
And I think Rodale had a lot to do with that. Like, this really is a place where you can come and be healthy in whatever way that the word healthy means to you. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever living well means to you, like, we're not here to tell you how to live well. We're here to kind of say, these are all the ways you can live well. Like, fill up your cup with whatever that means.
Yeah.
And be happy. And so, I don't know. I love it. It's so much fun.
You should have a fill up your cup party.
Yeah, we really should. Maybe that should be like our first event. You could have dreams.
Yeah, you could have like cups for drinks, obviously, but then you could have like cups for like coupons or like vouchers or, you know, free like eyebrow threading. I don't know why that just came to my mind.
Because healthy personal care. So the girls, Siobhan Steph will always say I'm like the beauty guru for it, which makes sense because that was what I did for so long. Yeah. But it's something I'm still so passionate about, especially because I have an autoimmune disease. So I have to be really careful about what I put on my body as well as in my body.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really passionate about, like, healthy personal care. And we're so lucky because I go to Sato Salon Organics in Allentown. Shout out to Allison.
Allison! I love you.
They are... It is the cleanest you're going to get. And there are, like, lots of places like that popping up. And so to be able to shed light on that, I think is really important. Because your skin is your biggest organ. So, like, if you're eating organic and you're working out and you're taking supplements and you're managing your energy and your stress and you're doing all those things, but then you're, like, slathering parabens and phthalates on your skin twice a day.
Silly.
It affects things. You know, it's a real thing. I don't know.
So if people look up Live Well Lehigh Valley, what are they going to find?
They're going to find a cute website with lots of event information. Mm-hmm. They're going to find a banging Instagram.
Yes. I'm going to follow.
Please.
I will.
And you can always see us on Facebook, too. But our Instagram's definitely our crowning glory.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is it just Live Well Lehigh Valley?
Yes. Our Instagram is livewell_LV.
Okay.
Yeah. Everything's livewell_LV. And we like our little livewellers. And we have lots of dreams and plans. We would love to do events. And we'd love to...
Yeah.
Yeah. So... It's another little passion project. I seem to collect passion projects.
We could partner up and have all the co-founders of Live Well Lehigh Valley on a live podcast for your big launch party.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Let's do it.
Oh my gosh, we could do like a whole like Live Well panel. Like, we're certainly not experts, but...
You're going to have a really relaxing life once you're married. I can feel it.
I know, this is the problem.
Because we're planning all these things.
This has been me my whole life. I played like 3 sports. I was like the editor of everything and the vice president of everything. And in college, I was a crazy person. Like, I just don't know how to stop.
Yeah.
But I have really stopped, though. Once Secret Garden closed, I was like, done. I'm planning my wedding. I'm not missing a minute of this because it's such an emotional journey.
Yeah.
And you need to give it space.
Yeah.
And I think it's important not to, like, gloss over all of it or else, I don't know, maybe that's just me.
So what do you mean by, like, give it space?
So, like, for example, shopping for your wedding dress can be very different for different people, right? It can be, say you lost your mom. That would be really sentimental for you, maybe. Or me, I have major body issue stuff going on inside my brain. So shopping for a wedding dress, like, threw me for a loop, turned all of that stuff up to, like, level 15. And it was awful. And instead of just trying to push it down, like, I've been pushing that issue down my whole life, I kind of gave it room. And, you know, I'm still struggling with it, but I think I'm better for it. I think it got worse before it got better. But, you know, whatever it means for you, whether it forces you to look at family dynamics, whether it forces you to look at your partner in a certain way, right? Maybe it forces you to just really think about what you want for the rest of your life. And I think because I hustle so much, I don't look... I mean, I'm always thinking about the future, but, like, I'm always thinking, like, 30 years down the line. I'm not thinking, like, 2 to 5, which is really kind of important.
Or, like, tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. I'm always like, oh, what am I eating next? You know what I mean? Or when's my next nap? Or...
Yeah.
So, what's the point of me telling you that? Oh, I stopped hustling after Secret Garden. I was like, not going to miss a minute. Mm-hmm. And, like, it was really hard to, like, be alone with my thoughts and my emotions for so long.
Because you're so used to being on the go.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. And I feel like a totally different person because of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like my health has improved a lot because of it.
Because you just slowed it down.
Yeah. You know, your adrenal health, man. adrenal health is where it's at. That is, like, what helps you manage your anxiety and your hormone releases and, like, I don't know. Slowing down has really helped me with that. And that's, like, nobody thinks about your, like, tiny little adrenal gland.
Yeah. So that would be your biggest advice for people planning a wedding or just hustling or all of these things, just to slow it down?
Yeah, I think the advice would not to slow it down, because I think that if I had heard that, I would have gotten really defensive. I would have been like, I don't need to slow down. I'm fine. I can handle it. And that's true. But I think it's important to think about, I think it's important to be present. Yeah. To be where your feet are. Mm-hmm. And I didn't do that for so long. And yeah, I'm really, like, okay with being where I'm at and not knowing what my next show is and not knowing, you know, what my, even, like, where is my career going and all of that. And, like, we're going to start a family and all, like, I'm good kind of.
Right here, right now.
Yeah.
Nina, I love it.
Thanks.
So, okay, we've covered a lot of ground. We have two closing questions that we normally ask.
Ooh.
Do you feel like we've covered everything?
Yeah.
I'm, like, trying to, I feel like we've been all over the map.
We have. That's kind of standard.
In a good, for us. It's true. We don't really have a method to our madness. So, Amy, I'm going to make you ask the first one, like I always do, because now it's good luck, and this is number 13.
By the way, can I just say, 13 was always my number for any sports, and I find lots of luck in 13.
What?
Look at that.
Yeah.
We did not plan this, people.
No, we did not, I promise. So, this is really cool.
So many people have told me or us that whatever episode number they've ended up having has been, like, their number.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You guys.
Yeah.
It.
Crazy.
Amy?
Okay, so question one is a fill-in-the-blank question. And the question is,
sorry.
If women ruled the world, blank, fill in the blank.
Oh my God, I have so much to say.
You can say it all. Don't hold back.
If women ruled the world, we would not find, we would not equate pain with weakness. And if women ruled the world, we wouldn't, we would focus more on, I think that mental health and the natural fluctuations of our emotions would be more just a part of everyday life and a thing that we're all willing to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if women ruled the world, there wouldn't be so much women-on-women bullshit.
Yeah.
That is really perpetuated by many of the men or male figures in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we just wouldn't associate everything with the female condition to be, like, weakness. Or, like, everything that is, that we're currently being discriminated against are all of our strengths. And it's so frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really experience that until, like, the last couple years.
Yeah.
And I hate it.
Yeah.
It makes me just so, so angry.
Yeah.
And I'm super lucky to be marrying a guy who, like, just isn't like that at all. You know? He just, like, celebrates all of that for me and wants it all for me and doesn't think I can't do anything just because I'm a woman. If anything, he thinks I can do more because I'm a woman.
That's awesome.
Shout out Doug Ace.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yes.
Okay. Perfect answer, BT Dubs.
Thanks.
And perfect segue, because the last question is, what do you love most about yourself? It can be physical. It can be spiritual.
This is a super hard thing for me to answer.
It's hard for everyone, and we're trying to change it.
That's really cool, guys. That's really cool. I'm not avoiding answering. I'm just, like, legit, like,
because it's kind of like, why is it so hard to answer, to just be able to say, like, here's what I love about myself? Because, like, after interviewing someone, I could name easily, like, 25 things that I love about them, like, right now. But you still have to answer for yourself.
I think that I am I really love that I approach every situation with kindness first. Mm-hmm. I feel like I always give people benefit of the doubt, and that's totally my mom in me. And I feel like I'm not the person that's like, I don't like you until you make me like you. I'm the opposite. I'm like, you are a part of this, and like, I'm going to show you kindness, and I'm just going to be happy and nice to you until, you know what I mean? And then if you hurt me, whatever. But like, mm-hmm. I think I just approach those situations without anger or anything. I don't know. Kindness first. That's just like it. I think that that makes me an asset in lots of different ways.
100%.
Thanks.
And I can say that from experience.
Thanks, girl.
Thanks for being on our podcast.
This was the most fun thing ever.
I feel like...
when are we doing it again?
We've covered so much ground, but, like, do you feel like... have we missed anything? Do we need to circle back to anything?
I don't know.
I think we covered it all.
He's like, somebody put me to bed. I love you.
Well, listen, if there's ever something you want to talk about again...
I'll bring you back.
This is the most fun thing. Let's do it.
Thank you for being on here. We're just trying to connect everyone and empower people and... you're amazing. So keep hustling. Don't stop.
Thanks.
But enjoy married life, too.
I'll let you know how it is.
All right, everyone, follow Live Well Lehigh Valley. Find them on Instagram, Facebook. Look them up on their website. Support them. They're just badass women killing it, like Amy Unger is.
Yes, obviously. Ma'am.
We'll see you soon.
On behalf of everyone at Ladies of the LV, and by everyone I mean just me and Amy, don't be salty, Amy, I said your name. I would really like to thank you for listening, and if you like what you hear, please head over to iTunes and subscribe for future episodes, because we're going to have a lot of badass females on here. And by a lot, I mean hundreds, maybe even millions. Can anyone tell me the exact population of the Lehigh Valley? I don't know why I have to be so aggressive with numbers. Oh my goodness. Anyway, also, please feel free to visit veronicawithaglassofbubbly.com, where we have the podcasts and more blogs and fun things for you to read while you're sipping on a glass of champagne or the bottle. No judgment. We all do what we need to do.